tonight, and then what she...
There's Jack, wow.
They're all spiffy looking.
It's a scary group.
We got Warby Wonder side.
Yeah, I'll be in the room now. I usually like...
Let's play with Grove. Jack, if you'd be more comfortable...
No.
No, I can't even...
Yes, well...
So what's going on?
I'll stand for the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Attendance. Welcome to the planning board. Approval of minutes.
So moved.
Approval of account payable.
So moved.
Second. The monthly water report, August and September, were normal usage. And we canceled Helen Brudrock, was going to come talk about the architectural review board. So we scheduled that for our next month's meeting. If we could have the planning board, or as many as we can, at that meeting, I appreciate it.
Which would be November 9th.
November 9th.
Okay. Okay. We'll now open the Kaufman Farms project.
I'm sorry, did you want to approve the accounts payable?
We did.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
Right.
That was fast!
It took about 10 seconds.
Okay.
They're fast and quiet.
Yes.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for adding us to your agenda tonight. I'm Matt Sickler with McGoohan Hauser, the engineer for the Kaufman Farms project. We've been working with the planning board for probably about a year and a half now, I believe, on the project. Here tonight also is Rob McEwen, who's the project attorney, and Dan Pugh from Black Creek, the project developer. If you'd like, I can spread a set of plans out, give both boards an overview of where we are with the project and what it consists of.
The last revision,
I believe, is October 13th, 2009. Sorry I didn't bring any display boards. All right, this is the existing Kaufman property. There's the Chase Elementary School. The village well house sits over here. And this is the 85-acre parcel. These are the existing houses. There's the barn that was there previously. Portion here is the town of Manicating, about 31 acres. The remaining 54 acres and change here in the village. What we're proposing to do here on an overall scale is 72 townhouse unit project constructed in three clusters. There's six buildings within each cluster. Each building will have four townhouses. Now, the
These are two-story townhouses. There's no units stacked above each other. They each have their own separate entrance and their own separate garage, which on this footprint of the small projections to the front of the driveways there. We've included in here a two-acre parcel up in this corner adjacent to the Chase School, where we've discussed with the planning board constructing two tennis courts. It would then be more complicated offered to the village for dedication. To get from the village to our project, we discussed several things with the planning board. I believe the planning board felt it was important for this project to be connected to the village and feel like an extension of it. So we've proposed sidewalk from the school down to the project entrance. We've also...
Not the right time to ask you a question about that.
Whenever you'd like.
Our original agreement was that the sidewalk would go past the school, not...
Yes, it will.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it'll...
Okay.
It does.
We'll do the section...
No, I know that.
Yeah, we'll do the section in front of the school, which I believe it's this side of the entrance where it'll connect to the existing there as well.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll get you down to here.
Okay.
What you do from there on, but and then we'll continue that down to our entrance. Along that, we've discussed with the planning board providing some decorative lighting, some of the cast 12-foot decorative poles with, I guess, a railroad style fixture on that. It's, I guess, similar to maybe what's over at the parking ride. But we would do that with some shields so that you don't get the glare out onto the...
Yeah, because we had a problem at the parking.
Yeah. That one, and the idea here isn't to illuminate that area so that you can walk down the sidewalk at night with a book. It's just to provide some general...
To delineate the path at night for people walking the dog.
Yeah, and so that people can feel comfortable walking through there. So we continue those fixtures down to the entrance and then into the development as well to illuminate the sidewalks through here. Another aspect of the project that we discussed was the construction of a pond on this portion of the property that would be, I believe, about 4 acres in size. That upon completion would also be offered to the village. The entire 31-acre parcel would be offered for use as a village park, recreation, trails on that. So along with that, prior to completion of this, or upon completion of this, we were proposing a sidewalk from the entrance to the access to that parcel, which would be almost across from the wellhouse, just a little bit further south on Pennsylvania Avenue. With that, utilities for the site, we were proposing connections to the zone system. We would construct the mains, fire hydrants, and meters associated with that.
For water.
For water.
Yeah.
Upon completion, that would also then be turned over and dedicated to the village. The health department has reviewed that. I spoke with Fred Turner today. And we should have their approval for that. Sewage disposal, we're proposing a centralized system for the units. We will construct one treatment system here, which will treat the septic tank outflow from the units. We'll then dispose of it into the ground using disposal beds here. So the effluent essentially could be discharged to a surface water, but in this case, we'd rather go with groundwater recharge. DEC was at the site last week, reviewed soil conditions and verified those. I spoke to John Cancel from DEC today. He said he's in the process of preparing a permit for this, so we hope to have that shortly.
And who made this
disposal system will ultimately be maintained by the homeowners association. Yes, that will be internal to the project. The operations of that and maintenance of it will be their responsibility. And there will be a permit issued by DEC. They'll be responsible for the monitoring and reporting to DEC associated with that.
And if they fail to make responsibility of that, what is the recourse that the village would have? Does anybody know?
Yep.
We do.
Thank you.
And luckily the lease, which we can't see, took care of that. We were talking about the formation of the, if the HOA has a problem with the septic system, the sewer district.
Yeah, that's what you have in front of you, which is a sewer works agreement that Rob proposed and I've reviewed and modified. You'll be required to approve that or else they won't be able to form their sewer transportation corporation. If there are provisions in there for bonding and for the maintenance of, you know, after they finish constructing it, they have to put enough cash aside to maintain it for 5 years. If at some point in the future the HOA just doesn't take care of it, then you know you would essentially take it over and be able to charge the sewer rents, etc. But the idea is to have it, and I'm sure they will, you know, maintain it properly and build it properly. The engineer will be reviewing that. The planning board will be looking at it. And of course, there's bonding for in the event that they don't.
Rob?
That covers it, yeah. Just one thing I wanted to mention, John, you had asked for a requirement the Homeowners Association contract with the manufacturer for an annual inspection and maintenance contract. Mm-hmm. I added that to the work situation rather than the
development.
Oh, probably makes sense. Yeah, it seemed to me.
And this type of system now with the internet capabilities, it's the manufacturer really provides that, and that allows them from their office in Vermont to actually open up a computer screen and know what's going on here. Or if there's an alarm condition, they can access it and see what it is and make sure that somebody responds to it. In other words, if the level in the tank gets too high. So really, for what it costs today with the internet to be able to do that, it's well worth
minimal,
it. Yeah. Yep, it's minimal.
Excellent question.
Thanks,
so that pretty much is the project overview, but I think you know that that's where we stand with the other regulatory agencies being DOH and DEC at this point.
This grassy.
This, if we get over to here, what we talked about with the planning board is some stormwater areas at the center of the parking areas. So we'll take stormwater from the ends of the driveways, from the parking areas, collect it here before we discharge it out to our stormwater basins for the located back here. We've also included those decorative light fixtures in the center areas to illuminate the parking spots around them. And on the landscaping plan, we included kind of some shade trees in there, as well as some ground colored plantings in here that would tolerate the wet stormwater conditions. So the idea is to make it functional for the stormwater, but really kind of make it attractive as well, since it's going to be in everybody's front yard. And I guess that was another topic that we went over with the planning board, which was landscaping, particularly along the avenue, because as we've kind of clustered these units here, you do have the rear of some of these units facing the avenue, and that was a concern we went over on the landscaping plan. Back here, we proposed some berms in here, so it'll be raised up a few feet, and then we will put a variety of trees and shrubs on there. And they're a mix of deciduous and coniferous, so.
Multi-season type.
Yeah.
I talked to that landscape person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
Scott Leonard.
The same one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He put this together. And this is some landscaping around the backs of the units. And then we're obviously going to continue that I mean, it's nice she come down, you have it here, you got the trees on both sides. We're gonna continue that into the project as well, with the trees along the roads in, and then around the parking area as well.
Yeah, one other thing in here is there'll also be fire hydrants for fire suppression, that's the setup of the building, so it's important to make everybody and let them know that they'll be there, so.
We should be covered for you with that, just in case that we got any good, there's the entrance. We have back here, and then I believe there's two or three already along the avenue, so we'll be able to hook up, I think, to that as much as we want. Any questions really at this point regarding?
We didn't talk about the tennis court situation.
Nope, the tennis courts. We're proposing in this corner adjacent to the school. What we're showing here now is two separate tennis courts enclosed with a fence, a small parking area off of the avenue to access them. In the event that nobody wants to use our new sidewalk in front of the school and walk there, we'll give them a spot to park when they get there. So those, as Dan said, we're proposing to construct and then offer to the village for dedication. We've talked about that being done really at the end of the first phase of the project. With the 72 units here, we were looking at an initial first phase of construction, which would include 24 units closest to the school, the entrance road to that, the water system to serve that, and the wastewater system to serve the entire project. Construction of the wastewater system really doesn't make sense to phase. The tanks come prefabricated, you're setting them, and then when we're building the disposal beds, we want to go in and do that in one shot. We don't want to go in, build two, try to come back in,
add to the system,
and add on or potentially impact those. So we'll build that in one shot. And then with that would be the sidewalks to get from the village to the first phase and the lighting with that. So
when you say the sidewalks, though, it's the sidewalks in front of the school to the entrance.
Yeah.
Right.
These sidewalks will be completed at the end of phase three with when the pond is turned over to the village. And there's a couple points to make that are important here with the plan. The pond that's... Can we pull up the pond?
Sure.
Pull it up. Press a button.
Yeah.
And we'll flip some maps here.
Watch out. I'll make it
laugh. The pond that's here, we were talking about the depth of it. It's probably a max depth of 10 to 12 feet with a shallow depth of about 6 feet deep, something like that.
Yeah, that's the overall.
So it'd be a great spot in a village for kids to go fishing and things like that. And if the village decided at some point they wanted to do paddle boating or something, they could definitely do that there, which would be neat, right?
Yeah, ice skate.
Yep. And at that point, and the reason why we're doing that is because we're going to use some of the gravel and certainly some of the aggregate from the pond on the site. And we'd love to be able to build the pond and turn it over right away in phase one because we think it's a great amenity and it's going to definitely help with our project, but we definitely need to build it. We need to build our project because we need the gravel from the pond to do it. So that's why we've proposed that at the end of phase three, when we're all done, we turn it over. We also, and it's a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up earlier, was that we have, a permit on this from the DEC that we're going through the process for to build the pond. And there'll be mitigation that we'll be required to do some riprap and some surface, grass and things like that to maintain the structure of the new pond. And that's all going to come at the end of the project. So that's one of the other reasons why it's towards the end. With the tennis courts, bring up the tennis courts.
Well, before you bring the tennis courts.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on a second.
We'll stay on the pond.
The reason why we don't want to put this sidewalk in until the end is because we don't want people coming down
right.
to the construction site, because this is going to be a continuing construction site till the entire project's finished. That's why this sidewalk takes a portion is last, because we simply don't want people coming down.
We don't want to encourage it, what I mean?
They'll probably find their way
on
their own.
Certainly we do. But with the tennis court, what you have here is roughly a 2-acre, I think it's 1.875 or something like that, roughly a 2-acre parcel of land, which is developable. There's only a small buffer area in here, so it's a pretty good swath of land in the village. But we're willing to give that to the village for the park and rec use. Mickey, you had asked me a question about park and rec fees on the total project and things like that. And we researched it. Each phase would have would owe the current town, under the way that the park and rec fees are donated back, per unit. It comes to about $18,000 per phase, which comes to total project $53,000. Is that not right? 54. I'm off. My math is off by one grand. The value of a 2-acre developable parcel in the village of Wurzburg is a lot more than $54,000, certainly a lot more than $18,000, which is per one phase. And then, of course, there's the construction of the tennis courts and the parking lot and things like that. So we feel quite firmly that by being able to turn this over to the village at the end of phase one, after the 24th unit is complete and we're done, to be able to turn this over turnkey is a windfall for the village, just in value. The property alone, being able to turn it over, is a windfall for the village. The tennis court as a completed addition is, you know, a tremendous asset. Our only contingent that we'd like to add in there, and we haven't really talked about it, but I'm glad we're talking about it now, is that if we're going to make that donation of that 2 acres, we want to make sure that it remains park and rec land property. You know, that with the tennis court on there, that it doesn't at some point be restricted use or something like that for certain groups of people. We want it to be able to be used by everybody in the community. And we also, you know, some cities and things like that, when they have tennis courts, they put some pretty exorbitant fees on them. So now it's $35 to become a member, and it becomes a restricted use. Or they have an agreement with a particular instructor, and then at the end of the day, if you don't pay that instructor, you can't use the open courts, and we don't want that to happen. We want everybody to be able to use it. Maybe not all at the same time, but but certainly, you know, with some understanding, everybody would be able to use that. But Rob, it covers pretty much.
Well, also, we intend for this to be dedicated as parkland too.
Yes, the 31.5 acres on the other side of that hatch line there, with the pond, we want to be able to be used as forever parkland. So that way the people of the association know what the future is, that it's park and recreation, and everybody knows what it is. And I think it's a good benefit for the school too. Having, you know, at the end of the whole project, having the walkway for them to take little field trips down to the pond to see how, you know, the ecology and the ecosystem of the pond is working, I think it's great. You know, I mean, it's one of the things that they probably don't have right now, and it would be a great use for them. And to be able to eventually be able to go on hikes and walks and through that area is important.
To the choir.
So we're trying to, well, I think it's important. I mean, our company does what they say they're going to do. And we definitely think of the community first in everything we do, and we're proud of that. So I know that I might be preaching to the choir, but we like, when we're doing a really good thing, we want to let everybody know. So.
Has anybody spoke to the town yet about the property?
The answer is right now.
We have submitted the plans and to be dedicated to the village. We sent it to the I put a call into the planning board chairman.
I'm not saying it can't be worked out. I think it's probably going to be
worked out. Well, you can have the village can own property in the town.
The taxes
on
it.
No, they don't.
As long as it's for municipal purposes.
Okay. So I wouldn't even honestly bother trying.
I honestly think that if we put a pond on it, I'd go on someone to give it to us anyway.
Oh, I think so too. Rather, we should have the liability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And as John said, we provided the plans to the town, and when the planning board held their public hearing, we submitted notice, certified notice to the town as well, with a copy of the site plan as to what we were doing there.
Where's the village line on here?
Right, this is
funny. Oh, the hatch line is
yep.
The village line.
Yep. Yeah,
any
that text
area is any common areas planned for the residents within this area?
No, we didn't put any like common playground or something in there. The idea being, these are you know, two bedroom townhouses. We thought we'd have the pond here, the tennis courts, as well as the ability, just the open space.
In some of the designs that we're working on, that you know, you'd have a little patio and things like that. Everybody would have, you know, their own little patio.
Can all four of them have patios on ground floor?
Yeah, because
they're not stacked units, so you're not going to have somebody living above another unit. It's everybody has a ground to, you know, to top unit.
And obviously, if they put something on the back, that the setbacks are going to be okay from the road for those people on the road.
Yeah, what we were looking at was like a 12-foot patio, okay. Just with a small, like, that. that, and people would have room to put like a small privacy.
A grill and a little
yeah,
privacy
yeah,
fence.
Yeah, where you're going, picnic table.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, not a large area, because we thought also with the idea with the townhouse units was that individuals probably wouldn't want to maintain a large area. So we were thinking like a 12 by 12 patio or something back there would be about what they'd be looking for. Yep.
And the rest of this stays kind of wild?
Stays
yeah, we
open
should,
space.
Yeah. This is all wetlands.
Right.
This isn't through
right.
here, and this is a buffer,
yep.
so you can't really do anything
there's,
there.
Right, there's some portions of upland in
yes.
there. But pretty much it's between the wetland and then the DEC 100-foot adjacent area, which
takes care of it.
You're not allowed to. It does. It takes care of a large chunk of this.
But
so
it's not landscape. I mean, it's just left.
It's left
natural.
As is.
As is, yeah.
We're not touching it. So
let's refresh my memory. On the village water park, do we have 1 meter or 72 meters?
What we talked about was including one large meter. Right here, in a valve and meter pit, which has the pressure reducing valve in it, as well as a master meter. That gives the village the ability to go look at this, take 1 meter reading, send one bill to the HOA.
The HOA divides it up equally amongst its...
Yeah.
Or they can have individual meters.
Or we talked about...
I think it's probably the health department's probably going
to
want, but...
Right, we talked about the ability to provide individual meters for each unit as well, that way. If the HOA wants to divvy it up by that, and really from a water conservation point, I like the ability of having a meter on a unit. That way you can look at it and say, well, wait a second, this place is using, you know,
ridiculous
1,000 gallons a day. There's a problem somewhere in that house.
It affects their sewer bill as well.
True. Yeah, and if there's issues on the sewer end, we're going to want to know where the water's coming from. If there's one unit that maybe just has a... The people went away to Florida for 3 months and the toilet's running nonstop. You know, then you could look at a meter and narrow
that
down.
That hasn't been definitively determined.
In reality, it doesn't necessarily come down to whether we care or not, as long
well,
as there's a meter on
I think,
it.
Well, no,
I know that, but I think the health department, the DEC
well,
now.
The health department's
going to,
yeah, it'll probably be part of the determination of the health department that we're waiting on. And,
oh,
and he said,
okay.
German said Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thursday, maybe Friday, we'll definitely know. But from a sales perspective,
yeah.
People like
want
it. They want it. They want that individuality. They like the fact of being in a cluster area because you're preserving that open space. You've got a beautiful area to look at. But at the same part, they want their individuality, you know. So I think that makes sense. And accountability is important for people, too. They want to be able to say, hey,
this
we're conserving,
yeah.
And we're and it's paying off. We're doing our share. So it's a definite. It's going to be done that way.
If they're done individually, would you work with the village? Because we just got a grant.
No, we would
you would only take a reading here.
No, what I'm saying, to get the same meters as the rest of the village.
But you would never have to read them.
We would never
have
to
no,
read
but
them.
It would be helpful if you could.
We could probably do that.
Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a meter that's going to break.
Yeah,
right.
And you're going to say, geez,
where do I get one?
Where do I get
one?
So if we could match them, that would be good. If the village has a spec on the meter.
Getting, we have to have a meter.
I think there's only
you do a digital meters now that can be read?
Yes, I'll get that spec to you.
Thank you very much.
So it's concluded. It's part of the project. That was one of our carrying issues all along.
Yeah, we'll put it there.
Okay.
What we'll do is we'll add, when Arnie sends us the information on it, we'll put a notation on the utility sheet. That each unit shall have an individual water meter that's compatible with the current village
meter.
Could I ask a question on the wetlands?
Go ahead.
FEMA has redrawn the floodplain maps. Has that been taken into consideration for this project?
We used Bill Norton was the project surveyor.
Okay.
Bill tied it in to the floodplain maps and gave us the base flood elevation. We then raised the building pads in the centers, the common areas of those units above. We raised them to elevation 518. I'll have to go back a ways.
So it's got
to
be about 2 foot increase above grade.
Oh, they just came out with, I have temporary maps here. I'm not even confirmed yet.
Yeah, I think
and I'm
Bill
still waiting for the,
had to get them from the county,
okay.
If I remember.
I just wanted to check because there are some areas in the village that have been redesignated.
The base flood elevation was 514.
514.
For that.
Okay.
talk about the developer's agreement and what we're looking at there. Is everybody feel pretty good about the site, familiarity with the site and the proposal? We'll leave it open to...
Yeah, let's go back to the map showing the tennis parcel.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be helpful. Well, actually, you can see, I think, the two agreements, one of which I think you have is the sewer agreement.
Right.
Chance to read, I understand that, but that's one of two about standing issues. Before we can sign the sewer agreement, you have to permit us to form a sewer corporation. And once we get that authorization, we show it to DEC, and then we can form the corporation. Since this agreement is between the village and the corporation, we can't sign the agreement until the corporation is formed. So it's really a two-step process for this agreement. I think, and I'll let Elise confirm or deny this, that we've worked out the issues with regard to the sewer. I don't think there's much left with that. The other reason we're here is for the development, we're calling a development agreement, which sort of describes what we've been describing in terms of what's going to happen on this site. And we've just received a recent draft of the development agreement, which has caused my client some concern because it departs from what we expected and what we've been talking with the planning board about with regard to what's going to happen at this site. And I guess my first question is, do we really need a development agreement? We originally proposed this as an idea, and we included some things that would run sort of to assist us through the approval process, one of which was the process that the planning board would follow, and the second section had to do with the security that we would have to post and how it was posted so that the village would be comfortable that there would be enough security to cover the improvements that were going along. And then in turn we talked about dedicating this piece and dedicating this piece and constructing the sidewalks and putting up the lighting and that sort of thing. We believe those items can be put on the map if we don't have a developer's agreement. The other sections that we were interested in have been taken out completely. So, you know, from our standpoint, it's really not an agreement anymore because there aren't any benefits that run to my client. It's solely a contract that lists the obligations that we have to do, and there are no obligations really on behalf of the village. So I guess the first question for us is, do we really need a developer's agreement? And if so, I guess why? I mean, why in its current form would my client agree to sign it?
Well, to answer that question, if I may, I think we do need a developer's agreement because what this is doing is it's conveying property to the village. So the village trustees should be the ones who essentially agree to and form that agreement. I mean, Rob is right in that I did take a lot of language out that had to do with what the planning board needed to do. And I did that because the village board has no authority to tell the planning board how to approve a subdivision or a site plan. I think Rob's somewhat concerned about the ability to, for example, file plats, you know, in three sections, etc. Again, that's something that is the planning board is authorized to allow them to do that. That's in state law. So I think that there's perhaps not as much of an issue with that as perhaps the developer thinks. You are absolutely right that we don't have anything in this agreement that says, and this is what the village is going to do. And the reason for that, and I have no problem putting some sort of language in there, but part of the reason that we don't is because we're a bit ahead of ourselves here. Typically, from what I've seen and how we work, typically what happens is you get a conditional final approval from the planning board, and then you enter into a developer's agreement. So we're a little bit, so the planning board deals with bonding of the, you know, the public improvements within the project, for example, or having them done before they actually file the plat. And so that's something that takes place prior to, at least my experience, to actually signing a developer's agreement. So what happens is the final conditional approval of the subdivision itself is conditioned on signing a developer's agreement for things like conveying property to the village. So I think we're, you know, in some regards, there's a problem here because we're sort of doing both at the same time. We can certainly put language in the developer's agreement that, and this is only fair, that if the project doesn't get approved, then the agreement is null and void. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. In terms of the timing, that is a decision obviously up to the village board. But there are two things that I would recommend that I've seen in the now new revised edition of this. One is that in the provisions that I revised, I required bonding in the form of a cash or letter of credit for these improvements, not a surety bond. A surety bond is an insurance, basically an insurance policy, that if the project isn't completed, then you go get the money. But the problem with that is, and we highly recommend against that in these types of agreements, because it's very expensive and difficult to get that money from an insurance company versus a letter of credit, which essentially is the developer's money, and so the bank doesn't have any problem giving it up. So from a village's perspective, I would recommend that the bonding on these types of improvements be either cash or letter of credit. And I would very much recommend not accepting a surety bond. Now, I think we can discuss, for example, combining the bonds. I mean, if that's something that the developer would be more comfortable with, so that we don't have like three different letters of credit or et cetera, I mean, I think that that certainly can be worked out. As to the timing, what I put in here is that the tennis parcel would be bonded up front and then turned over or conveyed to the village at the, I think, the 24th certificate of occupancy, rather than just phase one. I really wasn't sure what phase one was, and the 24th certificate of occupancy means that they're completely finished with phase one. They're, you know, they've sold those, or they've at least, I think they've probably sold those, all those lots, and now there's someone who's going to move in. So at that point, it's a very clean, sort of crisp time to trade off the, or to convey the tennis parcel. I talked with the mayor, and I think I misunderstood the mayor, because originally the developer's agreement calls for turning over the pond and the village parcel at the very end of the project. I moved it all the way back up to the front. And again, and I think that perhaps I misunderstood you on that. So that's something that the village board certainly can discuss. Perhaps there's a compromise somewhere. But my concern for the village is that what if they finish, I know the intent isn't this way, but what if they finish phase one and then that's it? Now we have, you know, a half dug out pond and it just sits there. What if they finish phase two but they don't go to phase three? And, or what if there's, the market turns down and 5 or 6 or 7 years pass between phases? So I think that's something that we need to discuss with the developer, and perhaps, again, there's something between, you know, getting it all up front and waiting till the very, very end. Perhaps there's, I think I put some timing examples in there. If it stops for 3 years, the village gets it. So, you know, I think there, we are right now a little bit far apart on this developer's agreement. And I know that you have just seen my version and probably haven't had a chance to digest it. And it may be that you would want to look at, you know, the applicant's version and just get a sense for yourself what the differences are.
I think that's a good idea, at least, but at the same time, I think it needs to be clear that we will, that we highly regard Elise as her attorney and her expertise. understand, Tom.
I understand. I regard Elise highly as an attorney, too, so. That's not surprising. But you have to understand that over the course of time, we've had discussions with the planning board about what this project is going to look like. And this agreement changes many of the elements that we've talked about. And it's going to cost us a tremendous amount more in money if these elements are implemented. And let me give you just a few examples. For example, we agreed to construct a sidewalk along in front of the school. Mm-hmm. This agreement now requires us to put lighting in here. We never agreed to do that. That was not part of our project. This agreement also requires us, as revised, to put lighting in along here, too, which is not what we agreed to do. We never agreed to put lighting in here. It now requires us to provide cash security for these two parcels. That's not something we ever discussed or agreed to do. That's a problem. That's a lot of money. That's not something that we can just conveniently offer up. And you're asking for security on property that's owned by us, that we're going to turn over to you. Even if we don't make the improvements, the property is worth much more than what the recreation fee is going to cost. I mean, if you make this too expensive, it's going to be much easier for us simply to pay the recreation fee rather than to comply with the current draft of the development agreement. And we don't want to do that. We want to abide by what we promised to do. But you can't make it so expensive for us that it becomes prohibitive.
I may. Realistically, we've always talked about lighting through this section.
I'll defer to Matt on that issue because...
Never in front of the school.
Okay.
That's something I don't think we ever thought of it. The school was lit, so from the planning point of view, we didn't have this.
Lighting up through here.
There is a lot of lighting on the school property. I think we can take that, just speaking for me. I think we can take that item out.
We had talked about lighting up there at one point. Our most recent conversations were to include the existing street lighting on there, see what that illuminates.
Yeah,
which,
and then fill in any gaps.
We've added that to the plan, and we think there's sufficient
lighting on the other side, right?
Right, there's some.
Yeah, there's some light poles over here.
In here, along through there. And we held the sidewalk closer to the avenue at that point to try to take advantage of that lighting.
But so we always talked about it. So if there's a gap, the planning board's going to make you put in a light there.
Okay. Well, if I misspoke, I apologize. But.
And again, even on the tennis court, I mean, typically we would require, as part of phase one, the planning board would require you're going to, you know, Dwayne representing, he's going to build a lot of it first, and then when he's ready to file, he would bond the rest. Right. That phase one, always in our minds, included the tennis court. That would have to be bonded somehow, whether...
Well, that's right, but now you're talking about cash or letter of credit.
We never got that specific. That's beyond the planning board.
I would continue to suggest the cash or letter of credit.
We'll need to talk about that. I think there's a public decision that says the village can't dictate what kind of security under the statute you can require.
That's something we can discuss.
Okay.
But just our
we're all friendly here, so we don't know.
No. And listen, this is great. That I mean, this is a volunteer job. I don't care if you make money or not. All right, so I represent. I understand that. But here at the not enough. Here at the 2 acre parcel of property. Right. We'll just go back to that. The value of that, guaranteeing the homeowners association guarantees right that goes to the village. It's a guarantee. The tennis courts, in addition to that, are far more, when you add the property value plus the tennis courts, it's far more than the cost of the total project's park and refuse. I mean, if it was a case with the first phase, which we've already established, I think, is $18,000 in park and refuse, right, which is what we're obligated under law to do, right? And we put $18,000 in...
Where did that come from?
No, there is a rec fee.
There is a rec
fee. Okay, so, and it's, what, $750?
Per unit. So it comes to $18,000 for each phase, which comes to $54,000 for the entire project.
What I'd rather do, to be honest with you, is not get into specifics of that, because going through the whole planning board process, going through the seeker process, that was always there. The rec fees was after. I mean, we said, look, you're using some unit counts from over here.
Right.
We're not going to beat you up on the unit counts. We're going to say, you know what, we want this to be a nice development. Whether you have 70 units or 71 units, we're not going to be that picky, because if you can get an extra unit and we get tennis courts, that's the trade-off.
Okay.
That was through the whole process. So there, you do have the rec fee issue, but that was never brought up. This was basically tied into, represented at that time, was, look, we want to make this upscale. And we want to do that. We want to have a nice amenity that the village can use.
And we still want to do that.
We still want to do it.
And I would also point out that while this is a very valuable piece of land to the village itself, the value of the empty land, actually, it will be coming off the tax roll.
Right, unless you were
and
to sell it.
And we couldn't use it. I mean, we wouldn't be using it for anything. We're not going to sell it for commercial use or anything. So we need to just take that away a little bit.
I mean, it's certainly a value to us.
Well, yes, and the value with tennis courts on it is very valuable to the village, too. But,
right.
You know.
It's an amenity both for you and for
right,
the village.
Right, exactly. Right. We're helping each other in this case.
Right. Well, we just want to establish the fact that we're, and I understand, I concede that there's more into it, but even based on what we're required to do for the number of units, mm-hmm. all right, it's far greater than what the requirements would be. The value and the
well,
completion of it.
Is
and
your, is your only issue the surety bond type? Is that what we're talking about now?
Well, I don't think there's any dispute that we're going to turn this over to phase after we finish phase one, which I think.
But
that's
the question is the type of surety.
That's the question.
Okay.
And the timing on the village parcel, I think, is the other issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't turn it over earlier.
One hurdle at a time.
Right.
Okay. So if it's just the bonding issue on that one, do you intend, were you going to go build this and then file it, or were you going to bond this, all these improvements?
I think it has to be built or bonded.
It does.
It has
before
to be one
it's
or the
filed.
Other. I think.
Have you given a thought? Because I'm saying maybe we can break this out. In other words, look at, maybe we do a surety bond on this, and honestly, from the planning board point of view, if you never build this, we don't really care.
Right.
And the village is never going to go in and build this. On the other hand, the village may go in and have to build this, potentially. So, potentially, maybe we can work a deal, and I defer to Lise because we're just throwing this out here, is the planning board basically says, okay, you know what, on this one you can get a surety bond. You can get to the insurance company, you can get it. But on this piece, which, I don't know, $70,000, and you letter of credit that piece.
Well,
you both don't look happy. I'm just throwing it out here.
The reverse of your point, right, would be that the village really doesn't care whether we do this or not,
yes.
But they care about this. Mm-hmm. Well, if we don't do this, we have no reason to do this.
That,
I mean, the reverse side of it is...
Yeah, but
well,
see, that's
I,
where the village wants the protection, though. If you come in here and half build this, right, and you let's say you never do the rest of phase two, you sell that many units, however that happens with the homeowners and the AG, I don't know. But if you do that, the village, if we tried, the village would never, typically, I've never seen, go after your bond to build the rest of these units. You'd have to build all the improvements. But if the water line is ever extended, the village is not going to go in there and build that water line. So if the insurance company says, you're not taking our money, we don't really care.
Yeah, the only issue might be if you have to do any restoration of the property or if something isn't built correctly. That's another problem.
If we allowed you to do, let's say, bonding through the insurance company bonding in here, and let's say we take out a letter of credit for a restoration / village improvement, pick a number, $50,000, $70,000. I mean, I think restoration probably $50,000 would be plenty, and put that up and strike a balance. I mean, we're not asking you to bond a couple hundred thousand in letter of credit.
I would still recommend against the surety bond, but that's something we can discuss, and it's your decision.
By the same token, if we don't build anything, do you still expect that we're going to convey this?
No, we don't care.
Okay. Well, I mean,
but we don't want it half,
yeah,
especially
no,
at school. I don't want you,
you know,
basically from the village's point of view, protection. If you don't build this or you build half of it, we don't care. We can live with an eyesore. If you build half of this, it's right next to the school, and everybody up here is going to get grief. So that's, I think, from the planning board, at least from mine, that's my concern with this. Because this, I wouldn't care. And if you never build this, yeah, well, we don't expect you to build the tennis courts.
Or convey the land,
exactly.
We can talk about it. And the other issue here is, there's a provision in the agreement that says if we don't build this, not only do we have to give you the land, but we also have to pay the recreation fee, which is something that's very objective.
Well, no. I think what it says is that... if you don't convey and build, then you pay the recreation fee.
Within 30 days after completion.
Of phase one. I mean, we can make that a little longer, but you're finished with phase one.
And we don't have a tennis court.
And you don't have a tennis court.
I think that's what
you're right, yeah, right.
Then,
seasonality could be an issue there, too. I mean, if we finish phase one and it's, you know, November, right, and then we can't, obviously, you know.
Well, it's not finishing. It's a CO of your last building.
Okay, so we finished it, we have the CO for it, and we're ready to build a tennis court, but due to weather, I mean, it's rained every day.
It's contemplated that by the time that last person moves into that 24th unit in phase one,
right.
the tennis court is built and conveyed. Built and then conveyed. I think it's built and then conveyed like within 30 days or whatever. But not that you're building it within 30 days, but that...
Right, that...
Yeah, we're trying to not...
You're giving us a little grace period there, 30 days, to make sure that it's completed.
Well, that you convey.
30
days after we've...
Yeah. Yeah. The hope is that you built this while you're doing it.
Yeah, at the same time, you know,
yeah, we don't expect you to go for your last CO and then say, oh, we've got to build a tennis court.
No.
The hope is that it's built as you're moving through here. It doesn't have to be first, but we'd expect it completed by your last building.
And if my language isn't clear enough on that point, we can clear that up. But I think that is the intent. I think the bigger issue is the park,
right.
And
I think the issue on the recreation fee issue is, then if we pay the recreation fee issues, you surrender your right to the tennis court.
That's fine.
That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Because it doesn't say that.
Now, okay. Well, we can clear that up. But I mean, that's the intent, and the rec fees would be paid. At the rate they are at that point in time. Because we would apply the rec fees as they are at that point in time. These are about the lowest rec fees I've ever heard of. So, I'm just telling you that.
5 years ago, we had none. So
yeah. A lot better to use
small stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. There's been a 750% increase here.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Again, from the planning board point of view, at least from my name. We don't want it, the rec fees. I mean, the whole key with this is we want this upscale development.
Which is why we're here.
Exactly.
Because if the planning board wanted the rec fees, we wouldn't be in a developer's agreement.
Right.
And we recognize that what you want is far greater than the value of the rec fees, but we're willing to work with the community as long as it isn't done in a way that makes it a huge financial burden on top of the entire project. I mean, certainly when we proposed this project over a year and a half ago, the situation that we're in was very different from where we are right now, but we still recognize that there's a commitment to the community here with this school. We recognize that there's a commitment to the planning board that we're trying to advance this area and get something done, and we're still willing to move forward. We're just a little, you know,
if that's a concern of bonding this, can we basically, because you're filing this in phases, right?
That's
one
of the options we want, right?
Okay.
And I think that's probably the plan. But
yeah.
We may file them all at once and bond them all at once. You know?
Well, could we tie it into then, basically before you can file the second map or the second phase that the tennis courts have to be built? You don't bond it. So
what if they never file the second?
But they never file it. Basically, we just don't get the tennis court.
That's okay.
Worst case scenario, probably from their perspective too, is that they finish phase one and they never sell half of it, and you never get your tennis courts. I would recommend that when phase one is finished, that the tennis courts are done and conveyed. If they don't get to phase two, everyone living in phase one and the village has the tennis courts. I think that's not an unreasonable request, given that the village is, you know, allowing them to form a sewer transportation corporation. And this, again, these conveyances were the applicant's idea and offer. And I think they do benefit the applicant and obviously, I know the village wants this project and wants to go forward, so it's not that I don't think we can work this out, but as your attorney, I'm just saying that you build phase one, we get the tennis courts, and I think that was what they intended to do.
Yes, it was always their intention.
It was always the intention.
And it's still our intention. The only new part is the cash bond assurance, I guess. That's the issue, you know. It was just something we didn't foresee, in the cost. And then we started looking at, well, what would the actual fees be? And that's when we realized it, and we were like, wow, that's a big difference. I mean, the other thing is the tennis courts are supposed to be an exchange, right, of the total park and recreational asset for these units being built in their entirety. It's not at the end of phase two, we build another set of tennis courts over here, and at the end of phase three, we build another set of tennis courts over here. It's only the tennis courts that really are the true park and rec asset. Until the complete project is done, we turn over the pond and the additional property to the village. So if we don't build phase two, okay, granted, no pond, but there's also no burden on the community to require additional resources. And if we don't finish, begin phase two, there'd be a tennis court here for just a very small development. You know, it'd be a very, very large concession for a very small development. In addition to one other fact, and I want to talk to you about this too, I'm sure Rob, it's going to come up, is we work on phase one, we get phase one completely built, we turn over the park and rec fees, and let's say the economy is not improved, and we were successful enough to get phase one done, but we run into a problem where there's a tremendous lag time to be able to complete phase two, which would kill us, by the way, because we're funding all the improvements mainly with phase one, plus doing the sewer system for the entire project, all as part of phase one, so there'll be a lot of cost. So if we don't have a phase two and a phase three, it would be devastating, okay? So let's say that were to happen, but let's say a couple years go by, we're still moving forward with it, and now the zoning changes in the village that don't allow for density, or maybe they redo formulas based on wetlands. I mean, what protections do we have? In our original agreement, John had recommended a 10-year holding of the agreement, so that way for 10 years we have to finish all three phases, but it came back in the last agreement a 3-year commitment. And I think that has to do with state statute.
The state statute, when you file a subdivision plat, you have you're protected under state law for 3 years. But a village board cannot bind a future village board to not make zoning changes. Now you can extend those, that filing. You can extend it, or you, if it looks like it's going to be I think the timing that's important is when you file the plat. So if you need perhaps an extension from the planning board, we've got your conditional approval, etc., I think we can work a little bit with that type of thing. But the village board can't agree on behalf of future boards not to change zoning.
It wasn't, to changing zoning, but can they file
our entire project?
Well, you could.
Well, you could,
but then you'd have to bond the entire project. You didn't want to, but can they?
Then that's your 3-year statute starts,
right,
too, so you don't maybe want to do
that. But can they file phase one, but can they also file at that time an overview plan?
I think the way it works, John, if I'm not mistaken, is you can file phase one with the county clerk and you have to build a bond that, and you file the balance with the village clerk. But the clock runs, the 3-year clock runs on the entire project once you file with the village clerk. But you do have the statutory protection for that 3-year period. And then when we go to file phase two, for example, with the county,
you get an additional 3 years.
And then, no, you don't get an additional 3 years, but you have to build a bond for phase two, obviously, and then phase three.
I thought an additional 3 years when you
file
the
you
plat.
Get 3 years.
Like if you file that, like I think that's that whole idea with the provision in 728. That if you have a big project, you're not going to get the whole thing done in 3 years. So
you think it runs on per filing with the county?
I think it's per filing, but let's check on that. That's
yeah.
the way
that's
I understood
one for us.
It. It makes more sense that way. Otherwise, it pretty much eviscerates that ability to file by phases.
Yeah.
sounds like the applicant's attorney and our attorney can find middle ground on everything but the type of bond. So I don't know how sharp you ladies are on these three different types of bonds that they've mentioned, but it's, he's made it pretty clear that the one that you want is the most expensive for them. So that is where the conversation, I think, is always going to come back to. Go ahead.
Quick overview of bonds, and attorneys jump in if I get this wrong. Yeah, there's three types of bonds. One, cash, and they basically say, you know what, this is going to cost $100,000. Village, here's $100,000. We're going to go do it. When we're done, give us our $100,000 back. Basically, you're paying. Plus the interest. So basically, they're paying for the project twice. Initially, half cash. The other one is they have a letter of credit, or I've seen saving book accounts, but basically they said, we're going to keep this money in the bank. We're not giving it to the village, but we have this, and the village is listed on there, so if the village had to go in, they could go to our bank and take the money. The other one is they go to the insurance company and say, okay, we need a $100,000 bond. Here's $6,000, insure us. And that's why that's so much cheaper. The problem is, like any insurance company, when you want to get the money from it, they're like, we don't really think it's that much. It could be worse. So from the village's point of view, it's harder to collect that money.
There's also more ways to bond things under the statute. No one ever does them. One of, I think, is negotiable securities of the United States. I have no idea what that means either.
Maybe that's why nobody does
In all due respect, though, I think there's a couple other things that we need to talk about other than the tennis parcel, including the timing for the conveyance of the park parcel and the bonding of that. That becomes even more critical if we're talking about bonding this parcel for the entire time that it takes for us to complete the project. And we've expressed our reasons why we don't want to convey this until the end of the project, till everything's done, because we're going to be taking material out of here and using it for the construction of the phases. And these phases aren't going to they may happen right away. We'd be delighted if that happens, but that's not necessarily what's going to happen. So that this parcel may be in use for material extraction
if you're talking about bonding the improvements for the pond?
Talking about bonding the improvements. The agreement is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, realistically, you're digging a hole, and you're using that material over here.
Right.
So that bond, unless I'm missing something, is going to be for topsoil, seed, and we're talking several thousand dollars.
The other thing is, Matt, could you talk to the DEC requirements for mitigation after we're done there?
We're left with a hole in the ground.
Well, yeah. Matt, I don't think so. Under our permit, we're obligated by the state.
We're including that in our SWIP.
I thought you didn't include that design in your SWIP for your stormwater.
We've amended it.
Yeah.
We're not using that pond to satisfy the DEC criteria, but we included the earth moving with that in our erosion control and our stabilization of it, just because we just thought it would be cleaner if somebody stopped out for an inspection on this site and said, what's going on there? It wouldn't take too much to infer that it's related. So we included that in there. It wasn't designed, like I said, using the DEC quality or quantity.
Okay.
We satisfy that on site with our other ponds there. But we included restoration and all of the ENS details of that in the SWIP plan, or in the ENS portion of that as well. So I believe if activity stopped there, we walked away, the DEC would have enforcement ability on that as well as part of that permit.
Who would they enforce against?
But that could go on for years and years at the DEC.
Yeah, the DEC.
An active NOI. It's not like the DEC didn't say, okay, 3 years, you're done.
The other issues, and this one to me is more important than what bond we figure out. I'm sure I agree with you. We can find common ground here. We can work that out. This here is a deal breaker type situation because we need, just for the same thing that Mr. Savarese was talking about with the changing of the floodplains and things like that, we need this material. There's no question. We need it to do our whole project. So we can't turn over a third of a pond our 27,000 gallons worth of a million gallons of water at a time. We need to be able to use this property until we're done, and then we're willing to give it all to the village. Give it all to the village.
I don't think that should be a problem anyway, because we're not going to want that
right.
until it's all done.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is the bonding of the restoration.
Well, I mean...
But you don't have to accept the property until it's done, too, to
right.
your liking.
Right.
So you could just say you don't want it until it's done.
That was basically
we have to own it and pay the taxes on it until we can get it done to your liking.
But we don't want this, I think what Elise is saying, we don't want this all done, and it's not done, and the village is saying, okay,
what do we do now? I mean, I understand, having listened to you go through it now, you're going to be taking that fill out, you're going to need it at some point. You won't need it, but you don't know when that is exactly.
Right.
So I certainly understand that. My concern for the village simply is this, that everything gets done, or two phases get done, and everything else just sits, and this is, you know, I mean, to what extent the DEC ever enforces, I don't have a lot of confidence in the DEC, but I think that's something that maybe Rob and I can work through. I think I understand much better now the situation. And if we want to maybe have a little conference call, I think we can try and figure something out on that. But again, it's...
I guess my point is this. Let's assume this is going to be a four-acre pond, and let's assume the project sort of gets half-built and the developer disappears and you've got this four-acre, three-and-a-half-acre hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's your concern. Mm-hmm. You have 31 acres available to you. You can't tell me that this 31 acres doesn't have a value, that someone would buy and restore it and use the 31 acres for something. I mean, it's not as though you're going to be left with a hole in the ground if you don't want a hole in the ground.
You're
going
to be left with 31 acres.
I mean,
31 acres, but,
yeah, but
no one can use
it. It's wetlands.
And if you dedicate it as a park, we can't do a thing with it. We got to go to the state.
But the dedication's only going to happen upon you
accepting
it.
Right.
But I think that's the key is... You build half of this, we don't accept it, we have a big 3-acre hole in the ground.
Hmm.
It's not like we can sell this property, as you mentioned, because we don't have it yet. So
the only thing
we can do is go in with a restoration.
Well, we can craft the agreement such that if it's the project's abandoned, you can take title to this without dedicating it as a park. I mean, that's not a problem.
Well, that would take care of it right there.
Well,
then we'd have to.
Then you'd have to restore it.
Or you could find someone to restore who was willing to buy it.
Who would buy the wetlands? I mean,
basically
I don't know how much property
is. The point
is,
if it wasn't conveyed to us anyway,
it's, yeah, I mean.
So if we had, let me ask you this question. If we only own this piece of property here, right,
mm-hmm.
and we also own this piece of property, but we're only developing this piece of property, and we just decide to build a pond on our property, we wouldn't need to come to the planning board to get approval to dig a pond. We would have to come to the DEC to get a permit to dig a pond of that size.
That's absolutely
true. So. We're just doing this. It just happens to be that at the end of it, when it's all done and nice, and we do what we say we're going to do. And I know, as an attorney, there's no provision in the law, okay, that says, oh, that's the do what they say they're going to do policy. All right, that's okay. That covers everything. All right, done. Case closed. I recognize that and I respect it, okay? But we could dig a pond there today with a permit. You know, we're doing this in a way that plans for the future vision of the community so that way the community is left with a better situation. I mean,
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that.
Right.
But you'd be in front of the town and it would never happen. So.
And also, I just would like to point out that, again, this was the plan that was presented to the planning board, I think, very early on. So everything they've considered as they go through their process has been with this in mind. So...
But
the planning board's also known that we were using that resource as
exactly.
a way to develop our site. They know
exactly.
that.
And that's something I probably honestly didn't
that's okay.
understand.
But what
so
I
want
to, and maybe I'm missing something again, a restoration for, let's say you dig a hole and it's 3.5 acres. And so let's say that the village has to go in and restore this. I mean, over the course of this project, I don't see that as a big number. I mean, realistically, you'd get a dozer in there for 3 days, you'd throw some topsoil and some seed, and you get it. So I think we're arguing.
What would the time frame be on that? See, because,
what?
Well, so.
When
would
that?
We have to
okay.
do that? When would that work be an obligation of us to be completed by then? You know, how long could we potentially have this bond out there on that work, whether it's $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is to do it.
Oh, I think a lot less, to be honest with you. I think you could easily restore that for $20,000.
Well, I don't know. I mean, okay.
I mean, it's just earthwork.
Mm-hmm. So what you're looking for, John, is, in other words, if we come in, post some type of bond for phase one to include some form of restoration of that parcel in the phase one bond. At the completion of phase one, that would then roll to the phase two bond?
No, it had to be, he's right.
No, I see where you're going now. I misunderstood the mayor and put phase one. Mm-hmm. If the board wants it in phase one, you want it in phase two.
Well, it depends when you're going to do. If you're doing this earthwork under phase one, it's got to be under phase one.
Well, what we would do is we would come in and do some excavation there to construct phase one. We wouldn't construct the whole pond, but we would disturb a portion of it. So you're just looking for $5,000. You're looking for $5,000 or whatever the number is in the phase one bond to cover that restoration.
Yeah.
Then once phase two starts and a bond is posted for phase two, some dollar figure in the bond for that phase to cover that.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that is, and we have to think about it because this is kind of new to everybody, I think, in the room, being created as we're talking about it. I think what we'd like to do is to dig this out, get all this property prepared and ready to go right up front, and just be done with it, you know. But we still need to be able to have access to it for equipment and things like this up until we're done. So I think Elise is right that the real issue is trying to tie it to the end of the project somehow, but we don't want to have an assurance on phase one because everybody in the room recognizes that from phase one to phase two through phase three, we still need to have access to that.
You just lost me now. You're saying you want to do all this work under phase one to get
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the way we originally explained it was we're going to do it phase by phase.
Phase by phase.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would only excavate one phase at a time because
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, phase one may be a little more because I don't know if we need it for the roads or not.
Yeah, you might need access to get over there, but that draws a line, and guess what? Under phase one, we'll bond
this area.
This much.
Okay.
And if actually you talk the village into doing a surety bond, if you talk it into it, then realistically, we're talking dollars to bond the whole thing, so this is a waste of time.
If we're talking surety bonds, we don't have an issue.
Okay. If we're talking the other bond, I think realistically, even this little bit alone, if you break it up in pieces, you're talking $5,000-$10,000 for what I would consider a restoration bond. We don't want it perfect. We don't care whenever you need it. We just need it safe so somebody doesn't kill themselves.
The turnover of the property would still remain after the completion of phase three.
We don't want that.
That's not enough.
Well, Rob, we can take that back.
I have a question. This is totally separate from everything else.
Okay.
But I felt
why not?
It's important to say this. As you know, I am president of the library board. Shalom has been extremely, exceedingly generous to the Mamertine Library. I don't know if that puts me in a position of anything that, you know, I don't know what position that puts me in, but I want to be right up front about that. That the library is extremely grateful for his generosity, and I don't want it to look like that's influencing anything. So if I need to step back from all of this, that's a legal thing. I don't want to, you know.
Well,
I don't. But as the president of the board.
You disclosed it, and if you believe that you can make an objective decision, then.
You're the toughest one up there.
That's fine, but I just don't want that to come up in some future time that, you know.
We do appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, well, they're very sincere. And
I think everybody. And honestly, both sides have worked very well together. So now it's just everybody, I think, is a little scared to sign the signature and make sure everybody's covered. If you guys want to be covered, the village wants to be covered. Because, you know,
There's nothing to stop
Black Creek from selling this to Flora or anyone else.
Right.
happens all the time.
Well, this is a point I chose to borrow, too. But, I mean, a lot of people lived and learned.
But they could sell to anyone. Yeah. So that's why I think you need these things nailed down. So, honestly, the biggest issue
part of
is...
Part of it is we didn't even have a subdivision law for that.
What were the park and rec fees at?
He gave us a piece of property.
Davis and Tulsa.
Oh, all
right, there you go. That's a park. That
no one responsible.
Yeah, I had a question.
Just one, that's good.
Well, I think Rob and I will take a shot at this, and maybe we'll need to get some people on the conference call, but I think there is going to be an issue with the surety bond. So that's something that I'd like the board to think about, because my recommendation would be cash or letter of credit, or maybe Hershey Kisses. I don't know bonding things are.
There's a whole bunch of other ones out there. Drake's cakes.
They're not under consideration.
I have one thing that I need to leave if we're adjourning the discussion part of this meeting. The planning board meets on November 5th, I believe.
Well,
yes.
That Thursday?
Yeah.
First Thursday of the month.
Yes.
Okay. Planning board meets on November 5th. Not to pressure anybody, okay, but we have been working with the planning board for a year and a half. We haven't, from our end, changed much of anything. We're trying to stay as consistent.
Just
to protect
the planning board.
Yeah.
You've been working with the planning board for a year and a half. We pretty much approved you in 3 months. You've been working with the DEC and the other.
Okay, fair enough. You're right. We've been planning for the project for a year and a half.
Okay.
And working with the agencies appropriate to the project.
I just wanted to put that in.
100% right, John. We're meeting soon. We're coming into the winter time, okay? Even if we had all of our approvals, you know, in November and everything was figured out and ready to go, it's going to take us. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Bids need to go out and everything, and we want to get this project rolling as soon as possible. All right? Phase one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Hey, maybe if sales are great, phase three too, right? But we need to move as efficiently and as quick as we can. And the other issue that I'm personally concerned about is the issue of the school. The budget season for Monticello School is coming up soon. They're going to start to make decisions for the next couple of years about what they're going to do and how they're going to budget things. And I think it would say a lot to the Chase Elementary School and to the school district that, hey, this project's moving forward. It's not a dream out there. It's really going to happen. We're going to, you know, have an impact in this area. So I just want everyone to keep that in the back of their mind. So we can't afford, I don't think anyone wants to do it, where 2 weeks from now there's a conference call, and then 3 weeks from there we have an agreement, and then 4 weeks from now, I don't think anyone wants to do that at this point. So I just wanted to make that statement, and I know that you guys are going to work together, but there is a time sensitivity to this for us too.
Well, I was going to ask, what stage are we at with the planning board? Have you seen the final plans? Are you ready to vote?
No, we have not. The final plans haven't officially been submitted, right, Matt?
No, I just brought a copy tonight. I gave a copy.
Yeah, so you have not seen him yet? I'm
okay.
Scheduled
John,
a meeting
I
with...
And with B&L, we've been working with Matt, raising issues, and for the most part, they've been resolved. But we'd like to go on the record here that we want a formal review, some milestone at this point, so we could gather outstanding issues that we carry. A lot of these ideas have bubbled up, and that's great, they've been resolved. But to get to your point, to move on for approval, we would like to say, okay, we want a formal submission at this point, and this is what we're going to comment on. And we're guilty at incorporating ideas, so little revisions have been going on all along, but this would be a formal...
What time frame would you need to do that once they submit it to you, realistically?
Realistically, 3 weeks, two weeks of hard work, but...
All right. Well, there's nothing else on that I'm aware of the planning board agenda. There's nothing that locks us into having it on the 5th. Obviously, the 5th is not going to give him enough time to submit it and him enough time to review it.
Submit it, I think we'd be okay. I don't think his review.
Well, submit and
then
lock into his time frame.
Right. Yeah.
Because actually, I'm going to meet with your engineer
Thursday.
Well, we postponed it because I had an issue with my children, but we're going to meet this week, and I'm going to go over all the plans with him, make sure that from a planning point of view that we're satisfied. Then he's going to make whatever revisions or add whatever notes or cost you some more money and make that submission. But
why
I think
not?
The board has no problem changing our meeting or having a different meeting later in the week. I'm not going to want to cost you a month. So if we need to meet, give him the 3 weeks and have a meeting the second or third Thursday of the month, I don't think any of the planning board members have a problem.
Guys, that just means so much to us. I can't tell you. I appreciate it.
We'd be flexible.
You be.
Thanksgiving dinner here?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll bring the hot dogs.
Hot dogs, turkey hot dogs.
Turkey hot dogs.
Yeah, why not? Turkey hot dogs.
Do you want to just settle it for the 19th? Would that be enough time for everybody? That would be the third Thursday.
Matt, enough time?
That's
Rob
and
Elise.
And then I can get the add-in and everything.
Does that work for you?
Yes, and when would you be submitting this revision?
I'll meet with John this week.
Figure Wednesday next week.
When would the village, hopefully if everything gets worked out, adopt?
Well, the planning board can do a final conditional approval and condition it on
the village.
The village.
Yeah, what we'd like you to do.
I mean, now if it looks like we're so far apart, then that might be a problem. But
when does the village meeting go? Do you know?
The 9th.
So hopefully you have that resolved before you come to the planning board.
Tuesday after election.
Yes.
But I would ask
you
this time.
We expect you to bring a bottle.
Oh yeah, I hope I'll bring some gin.
We're not up for.
No, I know, you lucky village people. Yeah. I'm a March baby.
What I would ask though, if you're looking for conditional final approval,
yep.
I'd like your attorney to draft up the resolution.
Okay.
Get that to Elise, both the purpose, and myself, and the board, so we can basically come in that night and say, yep, let's read the resolution, and everybody's agreed.
Okay.
And we're doing it. And if you can get that before the village board meets, at least they could, Elise could at least let them know, is this is the agreement that the planning board
I'll only make 30 or 40 changes and then
Yeah, I know. When I turn it on, it looks like a rainbow.
It's not the problem, but I want to see it a lot.
Is it possible
they can build
the tennis courts
only as phase one?
But I think if you have that resolution,
and that's like the bond. It's there. You don't have to worry about how you bond it.
It should be fairly straightforward.
No, phase one is we want you to build the tennis courts. Then you start what they call phase one. So you physically have it.
I love that calendar. It's local, man. Jeff
Bank. Before they file the subdivision.
It's the 9th.
So that's the only guarantee the village would have.
And the planning board will be the 19th.
Well,
they have them do that.
So they can review.
You're looking for cash on the barrel.
Final plans.
Just
build it. And that's like a separate... and turn it on as a private offer.
They,
to think about it.
Yeah,
as
I'll
an offer.
About it.
That's like another bond.
No, I mean, everything's
like people's work can be their bond, and cash can be a bond, insurance can be one line of credit.
Which is another people in my chair.
But
he said he was working on our permit, so.
The other thing,
we'll see that soon. So the health department has been good with their reviews.
They've been good.
By this week. Yeah.
But theoretically, if there are people with their word, it's not going to cost them.
I just want to thank you.
It's not like they're extending another $100,000.
But if they can't really start building until they file the plan. So if we say, okay, you won't have to bond the tennis courts if you build them, our only... our only guarantee that they do that is that we can't outside of that.
Right, we still have the too much time. If they build that, we still have
I mean, we could do that, but I don't think they would like that. And they'd probably rather put the cash in, because then that might delay. They now have to, that delays everything until they build those.
How about I bring someone to meet with you?
And they're not
going to. We look at them.
I think they want to get started, you know. And to do that, they're going to have to file.
The bigger the parking lot, the worse the lighting issue.
I don't know if I've talked to your office in the past about water projects and contracts. Did you move about a year or
two? No, we've been here forever.
I work with Glenn.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's talked to you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Good job.
was your name again?
Bernadini.
Yeah, you look at.
Yeah, okay.
On a couple projects.
Yes, yeah, the water projects, absolutely.
Water project, that's what I said, the water project.
Yeah, I just didn't know who you were. Oh, okay.
That's when, what's his name? What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
His word was his bond.
Is this ours?
That's what, wait with the bonds, because. I'll get it. I'll only get a letter from you. I don't know. Okay.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was that?
Yeah, and I went up to, what's his name?
What? The guy that what here?
Using all the physical work and contract. I say, this is the first time that a village, your word is your bond. You know, that's actually how we did the bond.
You know, that, and I wish it was that.
Wait, and he goes, yeah, I guess that's what happened. I go, yeah. They screw up, it, we'll back to you.
We'll talk.
All right. See, I was thinking somehow we could encourage them to, as far as, you know, complete the debt, that would be the bond, then you have the value.
And in village law, for like private improvements and public improvements, they can do that. They can either build it or bond it. If they build it and not bond it, they have to build it before
and give it and turn it over, right?
Before they file their subdivision plan.
It's like, I'm selling you my car. Here's the keys. Go take it for a ride. But it's cheaper in the long run if they used it phase two, because they had they're not buying any insurance and that, and they don't bond stuff. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, when they there's something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, we've been working well with Matt. But one of the issues that we're sticking to is that 31 acres, now it's a mining operation. We're going to tell you, we're highly recommending talking to the town.
Yeah.
I now close the meeting.
Do you know that 31 acres are trying to give the town, which is a mining operation?
Well, for this project. No.
Oh,
see what I mean? They're not telling the town. Plus, there's no road access. It's a 25-foot easement that I put in there. I wanted ownership.
Yes.
As that cost, not a right of way. On the plans, it shows a right of way. Now it becomes a recreational park, which will be a liability for the manager. So we're concerned with putting a pond in that's attractive nuisance with no right of way. But that's a.
Have you indicated all this?
I have indicated this. I work with Matt. And 90% of our ideas get blended right in. The landscaping, screening from the. And so our effectiveness is kind of hidden in here. But that's why I said at a certain point, we still have a couple of issues that you're
well,
not.
Well, you need to make
yes. This is a town now. And they might look at this as what are you doing? You're excavating a mining soil to go to another.
Do they need a permit to do that?
Do you need a permit?
Well, they have
what,
to get
what assurance does the town have that we're not going to let the hole in their town? Yes, we're doing it for the village of Wurzburg, but that's not their attitude.
Well, we're not going to take
we
it.
We have not formed, yeah, but they have to know this. Yeah. All the assurances that you're building. And I've asked many times with John and Boyd, have you notified?
20 gigs. Here's my backup one. Still
nice.
Recording. I never used